Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. It's me and B. It's B. Mitch and Finley on your radio, your podcast, your YouTube, wherever the hell you access this content. Thank you for joining us. It was easy to talk away the Pittsburgh loss. The Steelers were really good. Washington kind of gave that thing away late. 5 days later, you got to go to Philadelphia. That's a really uphill climb before you even get off the bus. 10 days later, healthy against a 3-7 Cowboys team. That's a bad loss. Here we are. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
I want to credit you all last week. You were saying, yo, don't take this one for granted. Division games are crazy. You were proven correct. What if both these teams played well and Dallas just made more plays late, I think I could wrap my head around it a lot more. Dallas, in the first half of this game, tried as hard as humanly possible to give the game away. They wanted Washington to win. Mm-hmm. Score should have been 20-0. And Washington, it was like someone handed them something and they handed it right back. They refused to accept the gifts that Dallas was giving them.
True.
The Commanders' starting field position in this game, their first three possessions, Brian, they started the Dallas 40, their own 32, the Dallas 47. I'll keep going. Then the Washington 42, then the Dallas 39. I mean, just unbelievable gifts. They got the interception on Cooper Rush in the second quarter. We're not able to generate a first down. The mm-hmm. last three turnovers this team had gotten, three turnovers, two against Pittsburgh, one against Dallas, they've generated one first down mm-hmm. of three turnovers. Yeah. That's abhorrent. I think
it is. It is. And
Dallas tried to give them this thing, and they refused to accept it.
Dallas tried to do it, and early in the game, my comments were, if we don't take advantage of these opportunities, it will come back to haunt us. And I know everybody goes straight to the offense and things, but I heard players last night talking about not executing. And they're exactly right. You know, you get into games a lot of times, and the average fan and a lot of media people, they feel just because a play is called, it's supposed to work. Just because a play called doesn't mean it's going to work. And just because it's called don't mean it can't work. They may call the wrong play, but sometimes you just got to make it. That play at the end with Terry and Jaden Hale, that wasn't made to be easy like that.
No.
But those two dudes, a great throw and a hell of a run, effort to get to the end zone by Terry. Players got to make plays.
Players have to make
plays.
They
got to make more plays.
But my concern is, everybody thought they were overperforming, and then that performance got to be consistent. So then people are like, man, this is who they are. They're going to compete with Detroit. Now maybe you're seeing some regression to the mean. I don't know. It's too much to take in.
But I think they
no longer can run the ball. There's stats that'll show you that.
That was the issue right there about just because they were winning some games, they can compete with Detroit. I think we got past where this team really is. They played better. But they still are a young team learning. It's still the rebuild. And I am always reminded of David Aldridge's comment to us that we got to get to the point where this year was a year where if you get to the stuff that you saw with Jaden throughout, you're good. And I think that's the ultimate thing because we won a few games and we automatically were putting us in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl. That's why I'm always pumping the brakes on that stuff because you're going to go through some games. And that game yesterday, I knew one of those was coming. I didn't know it was going to be that game, especially after the 10 days.
I think the fact that you have rest, I mean, if I get to hear Dan Quinn and some of the players talk about like, oh, well, we got a good week of practice, like, cool. Where was it? Where was all of it? If they had less than 100 yards passing in the third quarter. There's a couple games over the last month, 6 weeks, that will skew the statistics a bit, because Washington ended up with pretty solid offensive numbers by the end of this game. But you can't have these extended periods of significant offensive futility and expect to win games. I thought defensively yesterday, against the Eagles and the Steelers, the Commanders' defense played 50, 55 minutes of really good D. They didn't yesterday. They were bending, and then the Cowboys were bailing them out. But Dallas hadn't been able to run the ball at all. They were gashing you yesterday, early. And Rico Dowdle, who really appears to be probably a good backup running back, he finished with almost 90 yards yesterday. And early in this game, I mean, Dallas's first two drives. Now, granted, they gave you it's the spirit of giving, Lamphill. It's Black Friday a little earlier for the Washington defense, because they were just cutting deals all over the place. If Dallas actually is able to convert on the field goals, it's 6-0, or maybe more than that. But the first two drives, everybody's going to get so caught up offensively. The first two drives yesterday, Dallas goes 7 plays, 43 yards, gets the field goal blocked. But they got to the Washington 17 on that thing. They got 2 first downs on their first drive. The next drive, they go 10 plays, 44 yards. They got to the Washington 24, and then they missed the field goal. So they're bending but not breaking. Ideally, an offense that's been completely inept, you'd love to not have to bend so much. This ain't gymnastics.
Yeah, but I listen, man. I keep saying Dallas still got players, and they didn't get into the end zone early. So they were still kicking field goals. So the defense was playing well enough for our offense as it was to perform, and we did not. If you get a field goal, a touchdown here or there, that defense, that team on Dallas begins to play a different game. You score a few touchdowns, Dallas quits in that first half.
Totally.
But they didn't. And I think the ultimate thing is players have to make plays. The schemes are not going to win games.
B, speaking of players making plays, this – honestly, makes me want to throw up in my mouth a little bit. So they blocked the field goal. The place is going nuts. Shout out to the crowd at Northwest, because before things went nuts and the Cowboys end up with a fourth quarter lead, like, the Burgundy crowd was dominating the blue crowd. They were both there, but it was a Burgundy scene. They blocked the field goal. They have first and 10 from the Dallas 40, and the place is going bananas. Dude, this is...
You got to get a damn touchdown.
3-4 minutes into the game.
Yes.
7 plays for 17 yards. They hit 1 pass for 16. Or I think it was even a Jaden run, rather. Pardon me. Mm-hmm. It was a Jaden run for 16 yards. That's the only offense they could generate on 7 plays. Mm-hmm. And then they had to kick a field goal from the 23. And honestly, huzzah, they made one, we would later learn as this game would go on. That is immediate confirmation of these offensive troubles. And like, if Jeff Walker and everybody in the stands could feel that, the freaking team feels it too. Yeah. Oh man, another chance we're not capitalizing on. And then Dallas goes back. I don't know. The end of this game was so bananas that I don't know what to make of this early on. So Dallas misses another one. Washington gets the ball at their 32. They go 7 plays, 36 yards. It's a decent little drive. Nothing crazy, but it's a decent little drive. But they were running the hell out of the football. Dallas came into this 31st in the NFL in rush yards allowed. Dallas was allowing about 150 a game. They finally just were establishing Brian Robinson. He was just running the ball. No, this is prior to that.
But then he got hurt eventually. After that. Yeah.
But no, you get 3rd and 2 deep in Dallas, not deep in Dallas territory, but in Dallas territory. That's when Jaden throws the little, I suppose it was a slant to Noah Brown. Incomplete. 3rd and 2 from the Dallas 32. To me, you're throwing there because you're going for it on 4th down. This team's been so aggressive on 4th down throughout the season. Instead, they don't, which I was just surprised by. I thought when they threw the ball on 3rd, it's because they're coming back to B-Rob on 4th. You know, a lot of times coaches will have that decision made up. Like, all right, we're doing this, and then we're already prepared for the next one. That's when Seibert misses the 52-yarder. So not only not only does that go from, okay, you didn't go for it, because what's the downside of going for it is if you don't get it, they get the ball where you are, right? But if you kick a 52-yarder with a dude that's coming off a hip problem that hasn't been nails from outside of like 50 all year, then they get the ball where you kicked it from.
Yeah.
So you gave up the field position battle there. You're actually giving up yards. That's perhaps, considering everything that happened at the end of this game, that becomes less important, but I was surprised by that decision, especially with how aggressive they've been all year. It does seem to me that, and maybe this is more of a result of execution, because if they were executing, we wouldn't be zeroing in on some of these things so much, but they played with the level of aggression and ballsiness for the first eight games that it seems to be waning, and maybe it's because they don't trust their guys to execute. I don't know. Like, I don't think their mentality has changed, but the calls on the field have changed. You cannot lose this game.
That game has been lost. Let's talk about how they lost it, because they lost it.
Right.
And listen,
that's a simple question then. How would you say they lost it?
They lost it because they came in and they were out-executed and they outperformed. Okay? The two kickoffs late in the game, and it was a block in back completely when Turpin went.
Yeah.
But ultimately, that play right there is a lack of keeping your fundamentals together. Stay in your lane. If everybody's staying in their lane, when he turns, he gets destroyed. But everybody crossed it. The onside
kick. The spin move was outrageous.
The spin move. Still, when he spin move, if they were in their lanes, he gets his ass destroyed. 5'8 would have killed him right there if he stays in his lane instead of crossing his face. The onside kick, you can't hit that guy when he crosses up until the ball goes 10 yards. But you know what you can't do? You can't run past him either. And that happened. But you saw some terrific things, like block on special teams. They have to listen. And a young lady last night said, if they ever play a full game on all three phases, then we'll see how good they are. We haven't seen that yet this year. And they allowed Dallas to hang around till Dallas got confidence. And that is the thing that will kill you in any football game where you're the favorite and you allow the team that's not favored to get a little confidence, you're in trouble. Because now you start stressing. They're not stressing. They're playing with house money.
Dude, their best drive of the game, until late in the game when Dallas is playing like beyond prevent, but Jaden finally carved him up a little, went 7-for-7 on that late drive. But the drive coming out of halftime was Washington's best drive of the game. That's when Jaden busted the touchdown run on the little option to the left side where Ben Sennett absolutely killed. That was a good scheme, good execution, all of it. So that it was 3-3 at halftime. Think about this game was 3-3 at halftime and finished 34-26.
Yeah.
It was 10-9 in the fourth quarter, and it finished 34-26.
Yeah.
But that drive where they score, right? There's a little bit of buzz going. That was a 10-play, 70-yard drive. They chewed up four first downs. That was a really good-looking drive. And then Cyber comes out and misses the extra point.
Yeah.
And you immediately were like, 9-3. And then Dallas, to their credit, comes back down the field and scores. And their guy, Aubrey, makes the extra point. And it's like, wait a second. How does Dallas have the lead in this thing?
Yeah. But like those little things like that, you know, missing that extra point, you start worrying about that one point coming back to Hornets. You know, I saw little things in that game throughout that troubled me.
Yeah.
You know, and because I've been in games and I watch it, little things like that come back to haunt you. You know, we always talk about the word karma. I think when you do silly stuff early in the game, that's the karma. It comes back and say, should have handled your business early.
Totally.
And we've watched.
It was the Pittsburgh game, dude. They had a double-digit lead in the third quarter and generated two second-half turnovers. This coaching staff, Dan Quinn, Joe Witt, all they talk about is the ball is life, go get the ball. The defense has been doing that.
Yeah.
And the offense can't support it.
They hadn't.
Their run game, I'm getting these stats from Kime. In the first 8 weeks, Washington averaged 5.2 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is in the last four? This is the running backs. Obviously, things get a little skewed when you get quarterback running in there. The running backs average 5.2. That's now 3.5 yards. in the last quarter.
And you know, it's not good. And I think early on you were saying, okay, this game's about to go good. Once Brian got hurt, I think a lot of life went out. But then he came back. And you're like, okay, he's back. Things are going to happen. But after the game, I saw he was limping. You know, I don't know how serious it was. I thought Brian was done. The way that looked, yeah, it looked like his leg.
When he got rolled
and
up.
And definition of a hip drop tackle, right? Did they call it? No. I mean, but that's no excuse for that. But when you are trying to build yourself to be a team where people are going to respect and believe in, you have to make the plays when they're there. And you cannot constantly falter when you got opportunities in front of you.
I don't believe B-Rob got a carry in the second half of this thing. He was announced as questionable with an ankle.
He came back in the game.
Did he get another carry?
I don't know if he got another carry, but I know he came back in the game after he went down.
You're saying the big one where it looked like he was done for the
year.
Yes. Yeah. No, right. So we saw him jog to the locker room. They probably had to do an X-ray or something, then they brought him back out. He came back in and got more carries after that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Then he left again and was announced as questionable with the ankle. Like, you're saying you saw him limping after the game. That was the ankle.
Yeah, but what I'm
saying. But he didn't get a carry in the second half. I think you got to really wonder what your backs are for next weekend. That's a later conversation.
When Brian goes down, they have to have somebody of his caliber to come in. You get what I'm saying? So Austin has been great. But Austin is not Brian Robinson. So McNichols, great, but he's not Brian Robinson. Somebody else has to be able to run the ball when Brian is out and not change up your offense.
I don't disagree, but I don't think that person exists. They released Rodriguez.
They released him and brought him back.
Right.
And when he played just a few weeks ago, he ran a damn ball very good. He needs to be running some balls that Brian can't go.
Yeah.
Because my thing is, it's not necessarily to be of his caliber. You have to be that style of back.
Yeah.
A bigger back who's going to be a body mover. You can't put those slashers in there to do that. Now they're doing that job, which is going to take some out of them, to be able to do their own job.
I'll be honest. I think a lot of times, and I understand why the station does it, right? Like the branding of Misery Monday and all these things. I think sometimes during this start to the season, it hasn't actually been a Misery Monday. It's like, that's a tough loss, but they're 7-3 or whatever, right? Today, legitimate Misery Monday. We're going to open the phone lines up at 11. Babe Laufenberg joins us at 1 o'clock. Nobody go anywhere.
B. Mitch here. Big changes are happening in the DMV. And just like our upgraded football team, now is the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with the Rood HVAC system. I did, and the difference is night and day. My family and I felt the change instantly. And if you don't have a Rood system yet, trust me, you're missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV. And if you live in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. So head over to Rood.com, find a local pro partner, and get ready for winter. And always remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
Bishop Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All right. We're going to open the phone lines up at 11. Blame pie going to be significant. It's a big week for pie. Pumpkin pie, sweet potato pie, apple pie. It's Thanksgiving week.
Mm-hmm.
Blame pie is going to be significant. I just tweeted this out, B, and I'm curious if you agree with me. I've really tried to be measured this season. And especially the last couple of weeks, I've been saying, listen, they got the Cowboys and the Titans at home. Like, there's still plenty of winnable games. There's a lot going on here. And I think it's important to point out they still have 5 games left. Even after yesterday's loss, they're 5.5-point favorites against Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Tennessee just played their best game of the year, by the way. Keep an eye on that. But right now, they'd be in the wild card. They've still shown so much growth. If you go back in time to July, I was saying the most important thing Washington can get is clarity at the quarterback position. I think they have that.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously still significantly more rebuilding that needs to happen. I think you need more offensive weapons. There's a lot of things that need to be required, right? So I'm trying to take the big picture, long view of this. But first time I will say, fans have a right to be pissed off about yesterday. That yesterday was a different beast than everything that had happened prior to that. I think you saw a team really underperform. And I think I think Dan Quinn's got to own this one. I think Kingsbury's got to own this one. Joe Witt's got to own this one. Like,
I think they all have. I don't think anybody's running away from the fact that they played hard.
I don't either. I'm just saying, like, but this is the first time they weren't outclassed. They weren't outmatched. They just lost.
Yeah, they lost. But I think the ultimate thing is, I don't think any one of them made us get in front of the skis or put the cart before the horse. We did that on our own by thinking the playoffs and the Super Bowl and all that type of stuff. But this thing,
you get to 7-2, I think a playoff conversation is fair. Super Bowl stuff beyond that is a little crazy.
It's fair to have the conversation. But you also got to realize there's a lot of football left.
Yeah.
And they got to play the games. And we can't get to a point where just because we won a few games that we are now, oh, we're invincible. No, we're not invincible against any team that we're going to play. Tennessee come along. I watch how well they played yesterday. So don't sit there and look at the record and look at – see, what gives people false sense of hope, what the damn point spread is. Everybody saw 10.5. I saw a team that plays us tough every time we play. And we normally play them tough sometimes when we're the bad team. So ultimately, we got to learn that the point spread and all the gambling aspect and all the fantasy football has nothing to do with the real football. And we get caught up in that sometimes and we forget about looking at the actual field of play and find out what the truth is. You get fooled by all those numbers and things like that.
No disagreement. I've worked with this dude for a while who I think I've laughed and joked about this over the years that there is a industry built. Like, you know why like shampoo and all that stuff was created? So companies could sell stuff. Like, technically, you don't necessarily need all that, but like it's become this huge industry, right? Mm-hmm. What has happened with analytics and DVOA, like all of these advanced metrics for football.
It makes everybody think they're smart.
Well, it's created,
that's what it does.
It's created a cottage industry where people are making money out of telling you how complex football is, mm-hmm. right? If you can run the ball and then stop the run, you got a real chance of winning every game you're in, no matter how complex life is, right? If you win.
And what is football today?
Any football player will tell you that.
Yeah.
Like even a dude like Kirk Cousins, who's probably the most analytically process-driven person I've ever had a lot of interaction with, mm-hmm. will tell you, yeah, we got to win the line of scrimmage. It's not that complicated. Mm-hmm. Washington hasn't been able to stop the run, and they haven't been able to run the ball. And all of a sudden, it's a mess for them.
Totally.
I think, you know, and if you look at Tennessee coming up, Tony Pollard runs the hell out of the football. And
yes,
that's a Bill Callahan product down there. It's his son coaching him, but Bill's on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be – that is no cakewalk.
They like running the football. We know that.
But, Brian, obviously right now the issue is – I think yesterday there were a lot of issues. I thought special teams – can I ask you something before we forget?
Mm-hmm.
Seibert said it post-game, and then Dan Quinn doubled down on it.
Mm-hmm.
When the late kickoff return touchdown by Kevontae Turpin –
mm-hmm.
That was the plan, is they wanted to force a return. They wanted a dirty kick where he's got to get his hands on it around the goal line. The guy's electric, and he's shown that mm-hmm. for seasons now.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I love that strategically. Do you think that strategically that was the play because they were worried about Seibert's ability to get it out of the back of the end zone? Or do you think strategically that was the decision? Because to me, there's two different things. Like,
I think kicking a ball on the ground was a decision because it normally slows down the operation. But you know what it also does? And many people don't get this as a returner. When that ball bounces, the people running down normally slows up.
Right.
It's a natural tendency for them to do it. But still, if the guys stayed in their lanes, and what happens when the ball bounces, it throws off timing, and guys get antsy. So I don't know if they had practiced it or they just made a decision at that moment, because I saw a guy starting to cross face. And he, when he made the spin, he had it. Nothing was there. But also saw a guy hit right in the back, right where he was, and the referee never saw that one either. But ultimately, you have to stay in your lane even more when the ball hits the ground. Because if you start crossing and getting in other people's lane, you know what you do? You run into other guys. You cause pileups for yourself, and you leave openings in the background. And that's exactly what they did.
It's I don't know. I'm not going to kill them for any decision-making with Seibert whatsoever. He was really, really, really good for 6-7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, if a guy's hurt, you bring him back. You got to bring him back. And they watched him in practice. It's not like they didn't go through this.
Mm-hmm.
But it, to me, was very obvious, damn near immediately. I don't know if it's lingering effects of the injury or something happened, wasn't right, but something wasn't right. And I think late in that game, I can't, and you're right, and this was Dan Quinn's point over and over yesterday, was that it's execution. If players just execute, it looks different.
But once he missed that first one, you know that was on his mind.
Sure.
And that happens. And then the last one that he missed, the snap is just a little off.
It was quite off.
And it throws off timing, and it can mess you up. And I understand.
Did you hear?
People go, oh, just kick the damn ball. Everything ain't as simple as you think it is.
We played this on Sports Final last night on NBC4. Have you heard London, the radio call of the bad snap, missed extra point at the end of the game? Mm. London sounds like he's turning into the Incredible Hulk. The Incredible Hulk. London Fletcher's like, bad freaking snap! It was pretty funny.
I heard at the beginning of the game, though, when Dallas kicker picks, Bram in London. Yeah, he's just the best kicker in the league. Boom.
Right.
That's the way he got
blocked. That kicker is good. He is good everywhere but Northwest. He doesn't like Landover. Sorry, Jeff. He probably wants a stadium back at RFK, too. So two questions for you. And I want to be clear that late in that game, normally, I 100% think it's a kick the extra point, play for overtime, you're at home. Like, I'm cool with that. Like, 98 times out of 100. I would have had some pause, though, in that moment, considering how Seibert had been kicking in that game. Would you have gone for two there, try to get your boys to win it on the field?
Listen, I'm not going to question that, because I know if they win for two today, we're going to have a ton of people being pissed that they went for two.
I'm saying, I think kicking is the right call.
I felt that you had just had that big touchdown. Kick this extra point, move on.
Yeah.
You know?
But you just said after he missed the first one,
after he missed the first, I know he's thinking about it, what I was saying that for is, you're thinking about it, then the snap is bad?
Yeah.
Now, Tress got it up and down quickly.
Right.
You know, but normally that kicker, when he starts to step, he sees that bad snap, it changes his timing. It makes him speed up or even slow down. And then he throws off his rhythm. You know, and I'm not making an excuse for him, because, hell, that's what his job is, to make it. But the ultimate thing is, Tress got the ball down quick enough. But that ball just being inside off a little bit, it threw him off. You get that? But think about it.
That was a dead pull the whole way.
Everybody was thinking that, getting to this playoff, into the overtime, and let's see what happened. I didn't expect the next kick to go to the house, though.
No. I understand kicking the extra point. I think, ideally, the full context. Like, there's some people that are going to say, oh, you always go for it, period. I'm not one of those. I think the full context with the kicker missing some kicks makes it a little more interesting. I'm not sure I agree with the thought of giving Turpin a return earlier, just because he's an electric playmaker. But I'm not sure. I think we'll never get this answer officially. I don't know that they believe Seibert can get it out of the back of the end zone. That's kind of the knock on him, is the leg strength. And so that's why they went for the dirty kick there, is to try to force the return.
I don't know.
And then the onside kick, can you go forward with Seibert right now after yesterday? The onside kick's completely on him and coverage. But
on who? Seibert?
Yeah. I mean, that's what he said after the game.
Well, that's what everybody says. I mean, I saw Revo say it was his fault.
Revo was emotional.
You kick
an
onside kick. Once you kick the ball, you can't also cover it. So you got guys running. I know what teams teach the return.
What
team.
He said is that he put it right to the guy, and he should have made a move.
But step across the line of scrimmage. When he steps across that 10-yard area, you can't hit him until he touched the ball. Well, once they saw him step across it, somebody has to have the wherewithal to say, don't pass him. And they ran right past him. You saw. Everybody in the middle ran right past him. So at that point, you just gave him a free run. Because you also ran past the football.
Have you ever seen a house call on an onside kick?
Yes. Several times.
Wow. That was.
They happen. When that thing bounced straight to somebody.
It's a live ball, dude.
You running past them. You better know to slow it down a little bit.
What a wacky game. Shout out to our guy Mike Beasley, who had the under in that game. Looked like money in the bank.
It was great until the end.
Money in the bank.
Wow.
Let's run through some of what DQ said after the game. Phones at 11. Peter Rosenberg joining us at 12:30. He was at the game yesterday.
Peter.
Woo! What a day. B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Tackle the NFL action on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. New customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins on tonight's game. Now, we have the Chargers taking on the Ravens. Anytime touchdown. Hell, let's go with Lamar Jackson. How about over rushing yards? That'll be definitely Derrick Henry. And over passing yards, since he throws the ball around and JP loves it, let's go with Justin Herbert. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Oh, boy. 34-26 loss to the Cowboys. My boy Bobby Belt, who's on RJ and Shan's show, the morning show, 105.3 down in Dallas, who's also a Cowboys beat reporter, was up here yesterday. And I see him down in the tunnel. He's like, man, what is wrong with you guys? I was like, what, dude, what? He's like, everybody in Dallas wanted a top five pick, and you guys go and blow this game, and now we might slide down. Dallas boys are funny, man. Speaking of funny, the stream's up. Find it where you find your streams. Let's say good morning to somebody. Yeah. There's a lot of people commenting in this joint. The first comment I see is Seer Titus Jones. Is that accurate, Jeff? Talking about corners?
No.
Okay, well, just whoever it is.
First comment, it was actually a pretty funny one. The first comment was Buns.
Got Buns, hon.
Buns.
Shout out to Buns. Shout out to Buns all over the world. I want it to be known this is a pro Buns radio program.
Jim D.
Cinnamon buns, whatever kind of buns you're into, we're into it. Hot dog buns, whatever you like. We like buns. Right, Landfill? Pro buns? Landfill gave it 2 thumbs up. He's locked in.
He like big buns and he can't not lie.
I want to play a little of this DQ audio before we get to the phones. If you want to start, I mean, Jeff, you're going to have to log me in because it's Denton logged in over here. But whenever you want to unlock the button.
Do they not know once they finish with the damn studio log out?
They may not know, but they certainly don't care.
I'm just going to say, whoever was in this studio this weekend, okay? I don't know who comes in here most times. But if you're sitting by the wall where the windows are, put the damn chair back where you saw it at. Put the camera back where it was. And move everything back how it was when you walked in. Because the next time I'm find out, I might put my hands on you. That's a threat. It's a promise and a threat because I'm getting sick and tired of coming here after every weekend and the stuff is messed up.
I believe him. Dan Quinn, number 5, Landfill, on what's going on now compared to earlier in the year.
You like the fight that you guys had at the end, but at the beginning, did you think it was there to the degree that it had been for most of the year when you guys are come out pretty strong against teams like this?
Yeah, I want to make sure like this confidence is rolling whoever we're playing, Ben, and I don't want it to go up and down and up and down. So again, I'll look back at the tape and the best part of this is like you get to go dig in and go for it again, man. And but like from a performance side, is there plenty to clean up on? You bet. And you don't want to miss an opportunity. And when you got a home game and going for it in the division, you want to take advantage of those. And when you miss them, it stinks.
Stinks. I applaud DQ for trying to keep level-headed after this loss and after losing 3 in a row. I had some interesting conversations with people outside of Washington, but inside the NFL last night.
Mm-hmm.
Some believe there are real execution problems, and that's the issue. Some believe there's schematic problems, and that's the issue. You know, these things will play out over the course of time.
It may be a combination.
It could certainly be a combination.
Some may be schematic, but you know what, though? You know how many times the wrong play has been called and they still capitalized and scored? You know how many times good plays have been called and you got stuffed? So it comes down to the guys that are executing the plays, because I know there have been plays called in. I'm sitting in the huddle. I'm like, oh, Lord, we're not supposed to run that against this defense. What do you do? You're going to run away from it? If your tackles and your linemen come off and block and you see a gap, you got to hit it.
So. There are some undeniable things, right? The offense is not performing like it was. It just isn't. And if you look at the O-line has sustained some injuries. You had Trent Scott come in yesterday for Wiley. I was surprised it wasn't Lucas instead of Scott, but that's what it was. Maybe they wanted Lucas to be available in case Coleman had to come out. Coleman did come out for like two plays to get his finger fixed. Brandon Coleman had a big old wrap, I believe, on his left shoulder. I saw him leaving the locker room. Jaden has been less accurate than he was earlier in the year. It was good to see Jaden running again yesterday. I think we can all collectively not have the health discussion.
I don't want to hear people talk about him running, because I've heard too many people say he needs to run. So just let him be him.
Yeah, I thought he looked good yesterday.
He protects himself enough. Let him be him.
Yeah. The accuracy has waned. A lot of people have a lot of questions about Kingsbury, about what the offense is doing, if there have been any changes. I think, you know, when McLaurin gets involved earlier, it's better for this offense. I think they lack. There's not a lot of guys that can get open quick. They call it like phone booth quicks that can get open right at the line of scrimmage to try to make a play. I think in turn, that's why you see a lot of the kind of screens and design stuff, the horizontal attack. I don't know those answers, right? I do know it's a little premature.
They can't touch you beyond 5 yards. And I believe if you are a receiver in the NFL and I give you a slant or some route where you're going to get to 5 yards depth, if you're strong enough, you get open. It doesn't have to automatically just go to those screenplays, because the screenplays are getting called for pass interference these days, which I can't stand.
The rubs, yeah. Here's my thing. I think I've tried to be very measured and not go too far during the first two losses. I think there's real reason for examination now. I think there's real questions to be asked. Number 12, Landfill. I asked Dan Quinn about his level of concern for the diminishing offensive production.
You mentioned the injuries there and the production just kind of continues to diminish. What's your level of concern offensively?
Can you be more specific with the injuries?
There's a number of injuries on the line, and then Eckler, and then just the production for the offense is diminishing. Like, how concerned are you about it?
Yeah, I wouldn't say concerned in the level I would use for, well, maybe your word, but not mine. I want to make sure that, like, everything that we're doing, we want to go attack it. And injuries are not, like, we all have that. I mean, every team does. So that's part of the gig. And I like that we have a good, deep crew to go hit it, but execution is really where we're at and what we're going to dig on hard. And that's what we'll focus on heading into this week.
Execution. Time for us to execute. Phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Blame pie time.